This is the second Sunday of Advent. On the first Sunday of Advent, last week, we talked about Jesus being our wonderful counselor. We're going to continue to talk about Jesus being our wonderful counselor. This is the second Sunday of Advent, and we light the candles not because it's a ritual of some nature, but rather it has been a habit that we formed over the past number of years. We live in a great secularized community and in the country where Christmas certainly is being advertised on the radio and on television and experienced by any one of a number of people is not the Christmas of the meaning that we really have, which is celebrating the birth of Jesus. Now, we know that Jesus probably was not born on December the 25th. Nonetheless, that's when we celebrate, and our focus, our attention, is on the birth of our Savior. That's one of the reasons why I love the Christmas lights, outside and inside. They remind me of Jesus, the light of the world. And I praise God for this time of the year. Traditionally, December 21st to 25 is the darkest time of the year, more night than day. And then we have the lights to be lit, the candles to be lit, and it just reminds us that Jesus is indeed the light of the world. Talking about wonderful counselor, Isaiah the prophet had some wonderful words to write. They were recorded, and we have them for us today. So Isaiah was very obedient to the Lord. When he received the message, he recorded the message, and the message is in print, and for you and for me today. So let us hear from the Word of God as we find in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, page 683 in the Pew Bible. Let us hear the Word of God. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Last week, for you, those who were here, we talked about the attributes of our wonderful counselor. The attributes are his divine wisdom and his divine knowledge. Now, you and I need to be reminded this is divine wisdom and divine knowledge. It is not human wisdom and not human knowledge. Jesus knows precisely, as your wonderful counselor and mine, he knows exactly what the state of our mind is. He knows exactly what our motives are. He knows exactly what we request and what we require and what we need. Jesus does not have a plan B. He only has a plan A. His plan will work all the time, every time, in any kind of wisdom or knowledge that he passes on to you and to me. So his wisdom and his knowledge passed on to you and to me is absolutely perfect. We receive his wisdom, his knowledge, in a number of ways. We receive it through reading his word, faithfully reading his word. I don't know about you, but I suspect you have the same experience that I have. I've read the Bible through many times over my lifetime, but every now and then a particular verse will be highlighted, not by me, not by some marking in my Bible, but just all of a sudden it stands out like it never did before. When it does, that is the Spirit of the living God, the wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ being imparted to you and to me, and for us to act upon his word. It's his word that has been given to us. He speaks to us through his Spirit. He speaks to us through hymns, through songs, through worshipful songs. He speaks to us even through messages that we receive. This is the word of God that comes into our life. We've talked about the attributes of our wonderful counselor. This morning we're going to talk about the attractiveness of our wonderful counselor. And he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and hear these words, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Each of the titles applied to Jesus emphasize the supreme ability of our Savior to administer the government that will be upon his shoulders. Here's a truth that millions of people, hear me, millions of people do not know. What is the truth? The truth is that Jesus is returning to this earth. He's coming back again. I believe he's coming back in our lifetime. Jesus is returning. It's amazing to me that people in Canada, there are many who have no idea who Jesus is, and therefore they have no idea that he's coming back again. Then there are people who think they know who Jesus is, but they still don't know that he's going to return to earth one day, and he's going to establish his kingdom here on earth. This is a truth that we need to know. This sounds preposterous to many people, the fact that Jesus, some guy in history, is going to come back and rule. Amen, he is, because what they don't understand is that he died, he was buried, he rose again, and he's alive forevermore. He conquered death, hell, and the grave for you and for me and everyone who places their trust in him. And he is coming back one day. Amen? Amen? Amen. He's coming back in one of two ways. Actually, he's coming back in both ways. Number one, he's coming in the clouds to take his church, his bride, to be with him forever. And we will be with him forever and forever and forever. And wherever he is, whatever he does, we'll be with him. Praise be to God. But he's coming back in a second way, about 7 years after that. He's coming back on the Mount of Olives. And when he comes back this time, he's coming back with his church. We have gone to be with him, 7 years with him, then coming back to be with him. And along with believers in the Old Testament, and he will be establishing his rule on this old earth. He's going to win all of the nations because of his attractiveness. Whatever nations are left, whatever peoples are left, after all that's going to go on through the tribulation period and then the return of Jesus, let me tell you something. He's going to rule. We do not have any perfect government anywhere in the world today. In fact, our governments worldwide seem to be more turmoil now than they ever have been. Think about the United States. Think about us to a lesser degree, a minority government. Think about England, Spain, France, Iran, Russia, South America, Venezuela, Bolivia, in between, Mexico. Think of all these countries. The governments are not doing what they ought to be doing. Now, some of them think they're perfect. Some of the dictators think they are perfect, but they are not. And I believe deep in my heart that this is conditioning the world to understand that their governments are not the be-all and end-all to governmental rule. We need Jesus. We need him to come, and we need him to rule. Do you remember back in the Old Testament, the Queen of Sheba came to visit Solomon, came to visit him because his wisdom was known throughout the world, the then known world. And she came to see what this wisdom and knowledge was all about. It's kind of interesting that historians have looked back over the Queen of Sheba and they wonder who on earth she really was. They don't know exactly where she came from. There are many writings about a Queen of Sheba. Some have even thought that maybe she was Queen of Ethiopia for a while. Be that as it may, wherever she came to Solomon. Came to Solomon because she wanted to experience his wisdom. And he was the wisest man on earth, certainly at that time, and until the time of Jesus. But let me tell you something. The Queen of Sheba may have gone to listen to Solomon, but everybody is going to come under the wisdom and to listen to the wisdom of Jesus when he rules on this earth. We are looking forward to his rule. In describing the attractiveness and the magnetism of Jesus while he was on earth, Mark writes this: they came from every quarter. He wrote, they came from everywhere. Think about it. They came from everywhere in the world at that time to see Jesus, to talk to Jesus. In Roman Catholic circles, whenever the Pope goes to a particular community or a particular country, I'm always amazed at the thousands upon thousands of people that go to visit him, wherever it is, in an open field somewhere or in a huge parking lot. It doesn't matter. Wherever he is, people come and flock to him. And when I see this, I often wonder, I think to myself, I wonder if people would flock to Jesus in the same way they flock to the Pope. Will they flock to Jesus? Let me tell you something. When Jesus establishes rule here on earth, when he rules from Jerusalem throughout the world, people and groups of people and nations will flock to Jesus. They will want to be in his presence. They will want to come under his authority. He will be reigning and ruling. And believe me, this world has been looking for justice. That's when it's going to get absolute justice. We remember the words of Jesus when he said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus has not yet established his kingdom on earth. Now, don't misunderstand me. He's established his kingdom in the heart of every believer. And if you've placed your trust in him as Savior and Lord, his kingdom is reigning within you. Praise be to God. We can look at Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, and as our King. But he hasn't established his rule on earth in the physical presence yet. But it is coming. Come to him. I know there are people, maybe in our congregation even this morning, who are having a longing in their heart. They don't know exactly what that longing is. They don't know why they've got the longing. There are people out there in our community, in our families, our neighbors, who have a longing in their heart. They're not quite sure what it is. Let me tell you, come to Jesus. That will fulfill the longing that they have. That's the message you and I need to understand. We need to appropriate. We need to make sure that we tell others, come to Jesus. Only he will give us the rest that we need. What do we know about the attractiveness and the magnetism of Jesus? Well, let me tell you something. Jesus attracts people wherever they are, whatever they are, or whoever they are. This is the attractiveness and the magnetism of Jesus. Jesus attracts people wherever they are. It's a historical fact that religions of the world have experienced various degrees of success depending on where they are. But Christianity has never failed to take root wherever the gospel has been faithfully preached. Christianity has never failed to take root where it is preached. I've always been amazed, awe-inspired actually, by the missionaries who've gone out to many countries throughout the world. They had the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it so burdened them, they wanted to go elsewhere. I think of people who went to Africa and to China and to Greenland and to Hawaii, and they spread the gospel news over and over again. These are heroes of the faith. In many ways, they are unsung heroes of the faith. All they are sung heroes in glory, but not here on earth. But they've given of their time and their talent and their lives. Sometimes they preached for year after year after year and only had one convert after many years of preaching. They have persevered. I praise God for the missionaries who've gone wherever they've gone from and wherever they've gone to, so to speak, when they have preached the gospel message. Even today in China, reportedly there are 1.3 billion people in China. And we are told the church is being held down in China, but there are between 88 and 100 million Christians who are alive, active, and well in the land of China. This is absolutely amazing. China is a dictatorship. China does not recognize God. China does not recognize a supreme being by any name. In fact, in August of this year, 2019, a surprising thing they did. You know, Robinson Crusoe was a great novel that's gone worldwide. The Chinese people love Robinson Crusoe, but the government dictated that the word Bible would be taken out of the novel Robinson Crusoe. Why? Because they did not want people to think there was any authority higher than the government, higher than the leaders of their government. They did not want to think that the Bible is something that will give them instruction. They do not want their people to think that the truth of the Bible is true for them too. Mind you, millions are still coming to Christ. Praise be to God that they are coming to Christ because of it. But that's what happens in that kind of a country whereby they do not recognize any supreme authority. But you and I, we ought to be recognizing our supreme authority. We recognize God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And even in the land that is filled with Islam, we understand that millions of Muslims are coming to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. The light is shining in those countries. Praise be to God. There are difficulties in the shining of the light. People have been martyred. People have been imprisoned. Continues even to today. People have been beheaded because of their faith. But the light is finally getting into the heart of many believers. You and I, we must not sit on the light of the gospel. You and I must do everything we can to make sure that that gospel message is being proclaimed throughout the world. Jesus attracts people wherever they are. Jesus attracts people whatever they are. In the book of Acts, the Apostle Peter, after meeting with Gentiles and explaining the gospel, he said this, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." Fear means respect. Do what is right means to accept Jesus, the Son of God, as Savior. Christ as Savior, while Jesus was physically present here on this earth some 2,000 years ago, we know that the theologians of the day came to seek his wisdom. We know that sin-sick souls came for counsel. We know that people came to him for healing in all sorts of ways. And we know that his enemies came to trap him. But all of this, what was the response? What was the result? This is what people said. No one ever spoke the way this man does. This is true today. The words of Jesus reported in Scripture, recorded in Scripture. No one ever spoke the way that Jesus has. Secondly, he taught as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. How true this is. You and I need to not look to the wisdom of men, not look to the wisdom of theologians or preachers, but look to the authority and to the wisdom of the Word of God and allow God's Word to speak to your heart. We are told that there is the conscious and the subconscious. Nothing gets to the subconscious unless it goes through the conscious. The subconscious is equivalent to the heart in Scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your subconscious be troubled. So in order for you and me to build up our subconscious, we need to know the Word of God. We need to, through the consciousness, take in the Word of God. Who is a man by the name of Benjamin Hanby, H-A-N-B-Y, wrote this, "Who is he that people bless for his words of gentleness? Who is he to whom they bring all the sick and sorrowing? 'Tis the Lord, O wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, Lord of all." That's what you and I need to do. Crown him, Lord of all. He is our Savior. Make sure he's the Lord of our life. Make sure that he is the King, ruling over the kingdom, his kingdom in our heart. Jesus attracts people wherever they are, whatever they are, and whoever they are. Jesus said, "But when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." When I am lifted up, men, women, children, boys and girls will come to him. We know from the gospel that men sought his counsel. Women came to him for advice. Little children responded to his welcoming touch on their head. Can you imagine being a little child and being in the presence of Jesus? I can see him in my mind's eye, sitting there somewhere on a rock or a bench or something, and little children coming. I can just see him wrapping his arms around them and expressing his love to them and giving them his blessing. There is nothing like the blessing that comes from Jesus in your life and in mine. Someone has said, "Christ is wonderful in his being, in his work, in his ways, and in his words." How true this is. Wonderful Counselor. What does history tell us? What does our own experience tell us? What did we learn within our own community? Jesus can take the sinner, sunken in sin, degraded by vice, transform him or her into an heir of glory, a child of light, a child of holiness. Jesus can take the weak and helpless one, and his own might use him, the pulling down of Satan's strongholds. So in his dealings with us this day, in this day and age, and in this fair community of Campbellford, he makes his light to shine, even in a world of darkness. He makes the crooked ways straight. Over and over again, I have heard people say something like, "What on earth is this world coming to?" I hear this whenever we hear of a mass shooting. I hear of this when we hear of some mentally disturbed person who takes a van or a vehicle and drives down a sidewalk. We hear of this whenever someone shoots children up at school. Just absolutely unbelievable, this asinine behavior that they go through. It is authored by Satan. It is because of sin in the world. It is the evil one that's blinding the eyes of people to think that they are doing what is right. The scripture tells us there's a time coming when we will be saying what is good is bad and what is bad is good. Kind of interesting, isn't it? That's the kind of life that we live in. The overall answer to the degrading and deteriorating conditions of this world is Jesus. Let me tell you something. Religion will not do it. I do not believe Christianity is a religion, incidentally. Why? Because religions of the world all reach up to God. But Christianity, God reaches down to you and to me. Religion won't do it. Creeds won't do it. Philosophies won't do it. Governments won't do it. Only Jesus will do it. Someone has written, "It is his delight to reveal to those who trust him the wonders of his love and power and wisdom as he leads them onward in their walk of faith." As he leads them onward in their walk of faith. Where are you in your walk of faith today? Where are you in your spiritual journey? Are you listening to Jesus? Are you listening to his word, the written word? Are you listening to the word from his spirit in your heart and in your mind, from your conscious to your subconscious? Are you living your life for Jesus? We've looked at the attributes of our wonderful counselor, the attractiveness of our wonderful counselor. And now I'd like to conclude by reading a passage of scripture found in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 17. Hear these words. I would like to call them the Christian Manifesto. It's for you and for me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, these words apply to you. If you are not, they won't apply to you until you become a believer. Becoming a believer is putting your trust in him. So let's hear the word of God. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved," that's you, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, these are words to you. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you." Now, just on that passage alone are about 10 sermons that could come out of it. It's forgiving. Do you have anybody in your heart for whom you have bitterness? You are upset that you haven't forgiven? Forgive one another. Let's carry on in the reading. "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, we pray that you will impart your word to our hearts in an indelible way where they will never be removed, and we will place all of our trust in you, and therefore we will rely completely upon you for our daily walk, for our spiritual journey, for everything that we do. For we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen.